Good morning. So a couple weeks back, Pastor Roger asked me to preach. And I said, awesome. And he's my father-in-law, and I call him Dad. So I said, Dad, what do you want me to preach on? He said, I want you to preach on the Word of God and the role of the Word of God in believers' lives. I was like, okay. Pretty big subject. Is there anything more specifically you'd like me to preach on? And he said, sure. He goes, I want you to talk about how speaking the Word of God is like a weapon and changes our lives compared to what we say about ourselves or maybe what's been said over us. I said, okay. So a week ago, I was praying and asking the Lord what his text was. What did God want me to use in the Bible to learn things before? And the Holy Spirit whispered to me, David and Goliath. I said, okay. So I'd like to ask a couple of my friends to come join me, John, Debbie. And we're actually going to read you something. They're going to read you something that you may have read before. You may have heard it before. And so we're going to pray because I want us to hear this story with completely fresh ears. Whether you're Ted Devers and you've been a believer for 70 years, or if you're my daughter Evangeline, you've been a believer for 3 or 4, however long you remember talking. So, Father, we just submit to you right now. Hallelujah. We ask you to speak to us in your word. We open our ears afresh to this story. Speak to us something brand new we've never heard before. In Jesus' name. So as these two go back and forth and read to you the story of David and Goliath, I want you to key in on something. Just for argument's sake, I want you to pretend that the most powerful thing in the world are words. And I want you to see this story brand new. Debbie, will you start us?
Now the Philistines gathered their armies for battle, and they were gathered at Socah, which belongs to Judah, and encamped between Socah and Zekai in Ephrath-Damon. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered and encamped in the valley of Elah and drew up in line of battle against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on the mountain on the one side, and Israel stood on the mountain on the other side with a valley between them. And there came out from the camp of the Philistines a champion named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits in a span, a little over 9 feet tall. He had a helmet of bronze on his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of bronze, which is about 120 pounds. And he had a bronze armor on his legs and a javelin of bronze slung between his shoulders. The shaft of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron, and his shield bearer went before him.
So the Philistines have come into Israel. They're in Socah, which belongs to Judah. So they've invaded. And they're lined up on this mountaintop, and there's a valley. On the other mountaintop is the army of Israel. And as accustomed, created by the Greeks, if a champion came out and challenged you, that their best man against your best man would actually determine the fight. Rather than 10,000 people dying here, you know, we're sending Goliath, who shekels and cubits don't make sense to us. So I wrote in there, he's over 9 feet tall. He's got armor on, just his breastplate, 120 pounds. This is a big dude. Okay, he had other bronze on, probably about 200 pounds of armor on this 9 foot man. He's got so much armor on that there's a separate human being standing in front of him holding a shield. John, will you continue for us?
Sure. He stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel, why have you come out to draw up for battle? Am I not a Philistine, and you are not servants of Saul? Choose a man, a champion, for yourselves, and let him come down to me. If he is able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be our servants and serve us. And the Philistines said, I defy the ranks of Israel this day. Give me a man, a champion, that we may fight together. When Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid.
So what's happened so far? It's all just talk. Some big, ugly dude is just shouting obscenities. And it's freaking him out because words are the most powerful thing. You were all lied to as children. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Lies! oh, they're going to screw up your whole life. Everything ever said over you, and you say especially, is powerful.
Now David was the son of a Ephrathite of Bethlehem in Judah named Jesse, who had 8 sons. In the days of Saul, the man was already old and advanced in years. The 3 oldest sons of Jesse had followed Saul to the battle. David was the youngest, and the 3 eldest followed Saul, but David went back and forth from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. For 40 days, the Philistine came forward and took his stand morning and evening. And Jesse said to David his son, "Take your brothers an ephah of this parched grain and these 10 loaves and carry them quickly to the camp to your brothers. Also take these 10 cheeses to the commander of their thousands. See if your brothers are well and bring some token from them."
Now Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah fighting with the Philistines. And David rose early in the morning and left his sheep with the keeper and took the provisions and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the encampment as the host was going out to the battle line, shouting the war cry. And Israel and the Philistines drew up to battle, again army against army. And David left the things in charge of the keeper of the baggage and ran to the ranks and went and greeted his brothers. As he talked with them, behold, the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, came up out of the ranks of the Philistines and spoke the same words as before. And this time, David heard him.
So first of all, nothing happens until Jesse speaks to his son. Go, right? Everything starts with words. He says, go and do this. Jesse tells his son David to do this. David goes because he's been commanded to do so. He gets there. By the way, it says that they were fighting with the Philistines. They haven't done anything yet. So what's the battle happening so far? It all starts up here. They're battling the Philistines already. And so they're preparing for battle, shouting the war cry. And everyone's getting psyched up. Day number 41, this guy's been coming out here for 40 days, insulting us, insulting our God. They finally have this new guy who hasn't been hearing it yet. And he comes on the scene, and David hears these words.
All the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were much afraid. And the men of Israel said, "Have you seen this man who has come up? Surely he has come up to defy Israel. And the king will enrich the men who kills him with great riches, and will give him his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel." And David said to the men who stood by him, "What shall be done for the man who kills the Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? And the people answered him in the same way, "So shall it be done to the man who kills him."
Now Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spoke to the men. And Eliab's anger was kindled against David. And he said, "Why have you come down? And with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know your presumptions and the evil of your heart, for you have come down to see the battle." And David said, "What have I done now? Was it not but a word?" And he turned away from him toward another and spoke in the same way. And the people answered him again as before.
When the words that David spoke were heard, they repeated them before Saul. And
wow.
He sent for him. And David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "You are not able to go against the Philistine to fight with him, for you are but a youth, and he has been a man of war from his youth." But David said to Saul.
The entire war starts right now. But David said to Saul,
"Your servant used to keep sheep for his father. And when there came a lion or a bear and took a lamb from this flock, I went after him and I struck him and I delivered it out of his mouth. And if he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and struck him and killed him. Your servant has struck down both lions and bears, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be like one of them, for he has defied the armies of the living God." And David said, "The Lord, who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, will deliver me from the hand of the Philistine. And Saul said to David, go and the Lord be with you.
What? What?
Your brain thinks this is normal because you've heard this story before. Do you understand this king who's responsible for an entire country is sending a 14-year-old boy to his death? All because of something David said to him? It's mind-blowing. It's so radical, it's disgusting. It's so amazing. Makes me want to kiss the ground and puke. It's incredible. The power of our words to stand before him and say, this uncircumcised Philistine. That's like a cuss word. This bastard child of these ugly gods that mean nothing is defying the God of angel armies.
Amen.
Whoa, my face rising up. Yeah. Why were we afraid of that guy? Oh, he was 9 feet tall. Okay. So words change the situation. Saul the king speaks to him. Go, the Lord be with you.
Then Saul clothed David with his armor. He put a helmet of bronze on his head and clothed him with a coat of mail. And David strapped his sword over his armor. And he tried in vain to go, for he had not tested them. Then David said to Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not tested them. So David put them off. Then he took his staff in his hand and chose 5 smooth stones from the brook and put them in his shepherd's pouch. His sling was in his hand, and he approached the Philistine.
And the Philistine moved forward and came near to David with his shield bearer in front of him. And when the Philistine looked and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth, ruddy and handsome in appearance. And the Philistine said to David, am I a dog that you come to me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and to the beasts of the field.
Then David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword, and with a spear, and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you down and cut off your head. And I will give the dead bodies of the host of the Philistines this day to the birds of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel, and that all this assembly may know that the Lord saves, not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hand.
When the Philistine arose and came and drew near to meet David, David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag and took out a stone and slung it and struck the Philistine in his forehead. The stone sank into his forehead and he fell on his face to the ground.
Hallelujah.
So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone and struck the Philistine and killed him. There was no sword in the hand of David. Then David ran and stood over the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of his sheath and killed him and cut off his head with it. When the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they fled.
Let's praise God.
Amen. Woo! Hallelujah!
Thank you, Jesus. Did you ever realize not only was this a 14-year-old kid without any armor on against a 9-foot dude who's ugly and huge and strong wearing 200 pounds of armor, but it was actually 2-on-1 because the shield bearer is out there too. Blocking for the guy. How incredible is that? You ever feel like your life is like 2-on-1 and that your ugly enemy is like 3 times bigger than you? And right? So today isn't about, you know, oh, you need to be like Nick and you need to wake up already having had 6 cups of coffee and you need to shout and be strong. No. Today is about how we get stuck and we get silent and we get afraid. And for 40 days, we're sitting there cowering in fear when the enemy is on our turf intimidating us with his words. And this is about how to get out of that. Because I don't know about you, but I'm not feeling very Davidic most days. Maybe there's certain areas of my life that I excel in that you see me at and I sound like I'm doing a great job, but there's areas of my life where I am under it. And my enemy's got me under his foot, and he looks 9 feet tall to me, and he's speaking in my ear. And so we need to know, God, how? How do I get out of that situation? When you are stuck in a situation like that, when you are really under it, sometimes, point number one, sometimes you need a voice from outside your battle to help you when you've become paralyzed by fear or repeated failure. The king of Israel didn't just stand up and shout back at the Philistine. His hundreds or his thousands of men fighting with him didn't all just rise up to the challenge. They got intimidated. And it's okay that you have areas in your life that you have been to. Sometimes you need a voice from outside your battle to help you when you've become paralyzed by fear or repeated failure. David hadn't listened to that intimidating voice every day for 40 days. He was back home watching the sheep. And when someone outside your situation looks at it, you say, well, you start to repeat to them what you've been hearing from your enemy. And you don't even realize it. Oh, there's just no way I'm going to get this new job. Well, why? And they kind of look at you like, and the real answer is because that's what the enemy keeps telling me every day. And I believe it. But someone outside your situation goes, why? I think you can get this new job. And you kind of look at them like, oh, really? Yes. I was absolutely under it recently. I've become a leader at my job, at my work. And I mentor 6, 7, 8, 9 different people. And usually I'm full of passion and I tell them how to do their jobs. And my goal this year is really big of what they want me to do at work. And I have started to slip behind and behind and behind. And Nick Haywood lost his Nick Haywoodness. And I started to think I couldn't do it. I've got till December 7th to do it. And I started to believe I couldn't do it because every day some Philistine, some 9-foot-tall giant in my life's been saying, you're not going to hit this goal. You slipped behind. You made a mistake by committing to this goal. What were you thinking? You're so proud. You're so stupid. You're a jerk. Matter of fact, do you realize how dumb it is that they've given you 9 people to mentor? You can't even do your own job. Have you ever heard that voice? Yeah, that's not a nice voice. I don't like that voice. And I started to believe it, and I got intimidated at least 40 days until one of my mentees, someone who I've mentored all year long, heard me tell them what I'm struggling with. And he's not listening to my stupid brain talk and the criticisms of my enemy. And he's over in New York City, and he goes, what? I goes, what are you talking about? You're going to hit your goal. It was like, who's this Philistine defying the armies of God? I'm like, I am going to hit my goal? Oh, yeah. Yeah. You keep doing the right thing. It's going to come. It was magical. I felt thousands of pounds fall off of me. I have been on fire ever since that day. My sales have quadrupled since 4 weeks ago when he spoke this over me. Wow. What has changed in my life? Did I start eating different? No. Did I start sleeping more? No. Did I hire a bigger team? No. The only thing that changed was what I believe and what I speak. And I had gotten under it, you guys. I needed someone outside my situation to say, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? This marriage is over. What are you talking about? You're addicted to heroin. What are you talking about? You can't stop pornography. What are you talking about? I can? Yes, you can. You need someone outside your situation. On your notes, it should say there, and this week, your homework, this is a good week to actually go home and chew on this. Who's this person in your life you can call out to for help? Who isn't inside your brain and the trauma of your script right now? Who can help you rewrite this script? Who's that person? It's a pastor, it's a friend, it's a spouse. It could be a child, I don't know. It could be your kid. It's important to remember that when you're in battle, that it's common to get sucked in. Don't be afraid to accept the help of another. It's right in the Bible. God knows that we're just people, we're just humans. It's not that all of them were really strong and one of them was weak. No, all of them were human and only one of them, David, helped them figure it out. So if you're feeling like, oh, you know, this church, everyone seems really, you know, with it. And, you know, I better get my game on because I bet none of them have his struggles. Lies! Lies! We are all struggling with something right now. All of us. So we're going to ask for help. By the way, humility is so great. Don't you love when you have to ask for help? Don't you love when your mentee tells you what's up? Oh my gosh. Thank you, Jesus. Don't be afraid to ask for help. Even that act right there can start to turn the tides. There's something about breaking that back of pride. Well, what are they going to think of me? Breaking that back of fear, okay? Point number two, don't battle the enemy someone else's way. For example, Saul tried to give David his armor. Fight this fight the way God designed you to. Don't battle the enemy someone else's way. Saul's armor would be the example. Fight this fight the way God designed you to. Some of us are quiet. Some of us are loud. Some of us are expressive. Some of us use fewer words. Some of us are critical thinkers. Some of us talk and think out loud, like me. Some of you wake up feeling horrible. Some of you wake up feeling energized. Some of you are male. Some of you are female. Some of you are young. Some of you are old. Black, white, yellow, brown. I don't care. Figure out your way of doing this. It's probably not going to look like me. Under most circumstances, I am considered certifiably insane. I'm crazy. My friends tell me, they say, you know, you're crazy, Nick. You're the craziest person I know. I said, thank you. Thank you so much. And they say, your craziness is probably the most sane I've ever seen. I said, thank you. Thank you. I drive in my car. I shout. I cry. I pray to God. I scream. I laugh. There's no one else in the car. Just me. But that's how I get this wonderful all the time. Okay? So don't think about doing this someone else's way. Don't go home going, gosh, if I don't learn how to scream and shout in my car, I'm not going to have victory in my life. No. Take my armor and throw it off. You might be calm. I don't know what that is. You might be calculated. I don't know what that is. You might be thoughtful. I don't know what that is. And you might just sit there for an hour quietly, finding the right verse in the Bible that you want to say out loud. And on minute number 61, you might say, with all the braveness you can, out loud. This is the only part you have. It has to be out loud, because words are not words until they're spoken. They're not spoken, they're thoughts. Thank you. Spoken. You ready? So imagine this calm, calculated, thoughtful person who spent 60 minutes finding a verse in the Bible that they finally speak out against their enemy. The enemy's been telling me all year long that there's no way I'm ever going to get out of debt. He's been telling me all year long there's no way I'm ever going to find a spouse. There's no way I'm ever going to stop this addiction. And I say to him, calmly and quietly and collected, to my enemy, I say, he who began a good work will be faithful to complete it in me. And that might be your battle cry. That might be your crazy. Do it your way. What is this thing that God's already given you? What is your sling? You have muscles that God's given you, gifts in this world, that you've used them in your career, in your marriage, in your other relationships. Bring those to this table and let God do this his way through you, your way. Don't put on my armor. Don't do this like Roger. Don't do this like Nick or Crazy Laurie. Next week, you're going to hear Crazy Laurie. Don't do it her way. Do it your way, the way God's gifted you. Thank you, Jesus. So go home and think about that. Even you could ask a trusted friend, someone who likes you. Ask someone who likes you. You know, what are my gifts that you think I could bring? What is my sling? Like, what could I bring to this table? Well, you're a great researcher. You're a great researcher, so you could find a real specific verse that's going to be awesome. Or you're a great prayer warrior, so you could really pray this. Or you like to dance in the kitchen while you worship God, like Emmy. Sorry, honey. She likes to dance to God. And you know what? The atmosphere changes when my wife dances in the kitchen to the living God. Like, I come home and she's kind of like shining, and the house feels really peaceful. And I'm like, did you dance today? Yes, I danced. Okay, praise God. So the third point that we want to be looking at here, because we're all learning how to battle our Goliath, how to take down the thing that you're ashamed to even tell other people, because it's been 17 years you've struggled with it. It's been 22 years you've struggled with it. It's your third marriage. It's whatever, okay? Remember, point number three, the battle belongs to the Lord. He will give you your enemy. He will give you your enemy, okay? The battle belongs to the Lord. He will give you your enemy. I'm not trying to create some kind of false confidence in yourself. This is not like a self-confidence message. In some ways, I actually don't really believe in Nick Haywood. I love when Nick Haywood submits to the living God, great things happen. And I'm very confident that Jesus Christ in me can do anything. But apart from him, I'm nothing. And you are too. Now you're loved. I'm not talking about how loved you are. I'm talking about your ability. Your ability, truly. So this isn't about having some false confidence in yourself and getting psyched up. No, it's actually healthy to realize how limited you are. Right? I'm sure David knew he wasn't wearing armor. I'm sure David knew he was 14 and that this dude's been fighting people since he was 14. I'm sure David knew that this uncircumcised Philistine, what he's saying is, this man isn't in covenant with the living God. That's why he kept saying, you uncircumcised Philistine, you're outside of the covenant with the living God. Your gods with a little g are dogs. They're nothing. So you have to start to realize, no matter how big your opponent is, your God is bigger. But Nick, I haven't been able to beat this before. Good. Go out there with a new tongue and with him responsible for the outcome. I've done that before. Good. Call a friend. Ask them to speak it over you. Good. Go out there again. Find out that gift inside of you, your sling, your stone, and fight the enemy. David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword and a spear and a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts. You know, sometimes when you just don't know what to pray, and your mind's going crazy, and you feel depressed, or you have suicidal thoughts, or you want to get a divorce, or you want to jump off a bridge, you need to just say, Jesus! Jesus! I put your name over this house right now. I have the mind of Christ. I put Jesus over this place right now. Like a banner, I put Jesus over this place right now. Do you feel that starting to change? Whoa. Whoa, then I come against my enemy with the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you down and cut off your head. That all this would happen so that the assembly may know that the Lord saves, not with sword and spear. This isn't about you getting stronger. This isn't about you trying harder. This isn't about you reading your Bible more. This is about you speaking and putting him on the throne of your life and him, the battle belongs to the Lord, him coming through for you. That's what this is about. Things that are outside our control, right? Things we can't control the outcome of this week, that he has to show up. And we use our mouth to start speaking out. God, I'm trusting you with this situation. I know that you will turn all things for the good of those who love you. I love you. I'm no good. I'm no one special, but you keep telling me you love me. So I'm going to say I'm your son. And I'm loved, and you're going to go before me this week, and you're going to bless this decision, and you're going to favor me, and you're going to favor my family. Hallelujah. For the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hand. Thank you, Jesus. You know, I don't want you to be David, and I don't want you to be amazing. I want you to just start to speak this out. I want you to be Saul, who after hearing someone so convincing says, the Lord be with you. The Lord be with you. You see, you don't have to be a champion. You don't have to be the one to go out into this battle. There's someone who's never lost a fight. There's an undefeated champion who's already gone out on your behalf and wants to go out again. His name is Christ, the living, risen King, who by his word spoke and the universe was created, who by his word spoke, Lazarus, come out, and resurrection life took a man from death back into the living, who got on a cross and paid for everything stupid I've ever done that I don't want any of you to know about and said, it is finished. Who by his word, and you, Revelation says, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony, that's how you overcome. I believe in revival. I believe great days could come to this nation, but I am also prepared for dark days where a church has to be in their deepest inward parts convinced who their living God is. And I'm ready, whether it's me or my grandchild or my grandchild's grandchild, I am going to continue to speak that we must be prepared to overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Thank you, Jesus. For those of you that are helping us serve communion, if you could come up here, we're going to do communion a little bit differently today. We want to invite our champion, Jesus, into our situation, our Goliath. We want to invite our champion, Jesus, into the courthouse this week that makes decisions for us, against us, into our jobs this week, into our marriages this week. And if you're on this side of the room, I would love you all in just a moment to come down this aisle and receive these elements, both, and then return this way for this side and this way for that side. And we're going to take this communion together. So if you'll hold these elements, if you're on this side of the room, if you could come down this aisle and receive the bread and the cup and then return this way and this way, that'd be wonderful. Go ahead, let's come up right now as we start to pray. Jesus, I ask that you would do something powerful and brand new in our lives right now. Every place that we've been defeated, every place we've given in to fear, every place that we've been bound, every place that we've been paralyzed, every place we've been silent, we ask you to start something brand new. You took this bread on the first communion night, and you said, this is my body broken for you. And you said, this is my blood spilled out for you. So we come with that expectation right now to this table. Come with us, dear friends. Come receive. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Start brand new things in this room today, God. Every Goliath that we have submitted to, come, come. We want you in a brand new way. We admit that we've been stuck. We admit that we've given in. We admit that we've sinned. We admit that we've been silent. We admit that we've been paralyzed. Come, be our champion. You've got an undefeated record. You've never lost. And we need that. Spirit, be our champion. Go fight these battles for us this week, this year. Breakthrough in our life. Thank you, King. We stand. We stand with you. We stand with you. You're our champion. If you're sitting with these elements, you could start praying. If you speak in heavenly languages, you could start praying in your spirit. You could pray in English. You could say, God, I love you. I need you right now. Praise you, King. Let these holy murmurs rise up from the pews. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God, for each of these warriors. Thank you, God, that we're winning now with you. Thank you, God, you're changing the tides of our outcomes. Thank you, God. The battle belongs to the Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, King. I speak to you, addiction. I speak to you, failed marriages. I speak to you, hopelessness and depression. I speak to you, sickness. I speak to you, chronic disease. I speak to you, failure. I speak to you, shame. You defy the living God, and we will not go with you anymore. Because I don't have to do it. I've got a champion who goes against you, and I speak out his name. Thank you, Jesus. If you would, stand with me. If you're able, if you're physically able, stand with me, and let's take this right now. Jesus said, this is my body broken for you. Thank you, Jesus. Come. Come into my situation. If I need to change what I'm saying, let this change me. If I need to repent for how I've done this, let this change me. I put my expectation in your miracle power. He who began a good work will be faithful to complete it in me. Your word says that the battle belongs to you. I can't beat cigarettes. I can't beat pornography. I can't start being a better husband. I need you. Come. I can't stop being hopelessness. Be my hope. I can't make myself well. Be my healer. If there's a specific thing you can say to the living God right now, be my healer, be my hope, be my healing, be my deliverer, help me succeed. Whatever it is for you, whatever it is for you, help me believe again. I've just not believed all this was for me. Help me with this court decision this week. If you have that, use your mouth out loud. You can do it quietly, but out loud, let's say it right now. Thank you, Jesus. We accept his body broken for us right now. Thank you, God. Right here, this is a picture that you don't have to do it. You don't have to go to the cross. You don't have to pay for your sins. He's done it. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we raise this cup to you, a toast to you, a toast to you, our victor, a toast to you, our victory, a toast to you, our champion, undefeated. Oh, Lord, I repent for every place. Let's just say, Lord, I repent for forgetting how completely unstoppable you are. And for every place that I have forgotten that you want to be my victory, that you care about my life, even in its detail. And so I come to you now. Cleanse me in your blood. Cleanse out my mouth. Show me how to speak and be my victory. Cheers. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. That feels good. Thank you, Jesus. Cheers to you, great King. Cheers to you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. The room feels lighter. Oh, it feels good. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Something's going to happen. Something's going to happen. Thank you, God. Thank you, God.
Woo! Thank you, King. Our champion. Our champion. Our champion. Oh! Yes.
Oh, thank you, Jesus. Look. Look, the risen King ascending into heavens. Oh, the whole world under him. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Guys, Tuesday will come. And if you don't make it that long, 2 hours from now will come. And you're going to start to hear a voice again. Call out the name of Jesus. Call out on a friend, a trusted person. Text them if you can't. Say it out loud. Get people in agreement with you. Change the script. Speak it out. If you need to take communion at home, do it. Find some bread, find some wine, find some grape juice. Don't have any grape juice, find some orange juice. Don't have any juice, take some water and just believe. Okay? Some of you are ready. Some of you are ready right now to draw a line in the sand right now and change something right now today. Some of you are ready for agreement right now. We're ready. We're ready to pray with you. Some of you need to repent for what you've always submitted to and said, and your mouth that you said it would never be it would never change. Come down here. Wash your mouth out with a friend. And we'll change that script together. We'll repent and break that, and we'll start a new script together. For those of you who are just feeling high as a kite like I am, you're welcome to go enjoy coffee and sweets and each other's sweet company. And we love you. And for those of you who are ready to agree with a brother or sister, come on up. Let's pray together. We bless you. I bless you in the name of the Lord for victory this week, not because we're incredible, but because, God, you are incredible. I bless you in the name of the risen King with resurrection power and life and healing and strength and with hope. Hope all over you. I pray that you would each shine in your homes, shine in your jobs, shine on the streets, wherever you walk and wherever you go, that people would say, what happened to you this week? And we would say, the living God came and touched me. We praise you, Jesus. Bless you. Bless you. Bless you. Hallelujah.